Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to call to order this joint hearing of the Health, Finance, and Policy Committee and the Human Services, Finance, and Policy Committee. And I'm here with Co-Chair Schultz. So we're going to conduct this meeting jointly. So today, because we're having a joint hearing, we're not going to do a roll call, and there are no minutes to approve. So the purpose of today's hearing is to run through the spreadsheet, get a first look at the what will be the Health and Human Services bill. So right now we still have two bills, but we have a joint spreadsheet. The bills will be joined up in Ways and Means along with Chair Pinto's bill. So this is quite a large undertaking. And as we get started here today, members, I first need to thank our nonpartisan staff. They are amazing people, and we ask them to do the impossible, and they do it. I don't know how they do it, but they do it every time, and I think this year is even more difficult. So our House research staff, Elizabeth Clarkvist, Randy Chun, Danielle Punelli, Sarah Sunderman, and Annie Mark, they are amazing. And then our revisor staff, Alex Willey, Dean Treps, and Sandy Glasserani. And of course, our House fiscal staff, Doug Berg and Joe Harney, who's working with us for the first time this year. I know I don't have to tell the members who've been around a while the amazing work that these folks do for all of us here at the House. And while they're working with the chairs and working on the bill, trying to get the bill together, I know they're also working with all of the members to do amendments, to draft other bills. It's just amazing. And then, of course, I really want to thank our partisan staff. Yingya Vang and Patrick McQuillan, and Joe Durheim, and also Jeremiah Wingstead. I know they're in the middle of their work, not at the end at all, and they are just amazing. They do amazing work for all of us here at the House. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Chair Schultz to just give a few initial comments about what is in the bill.
Thank you, Chair Liebling. I want to echo my thanks to all of the staff, partisan and nonpartisan as well, including the revisor's office, and all of our CLAs and LAs for all the work they're contributing on Team HHS. So this is a very much a Herculean effort to get this bill put together, and I want to thank all the members who worked all session on their bills. I know they also are contributing to this really another historic investment in health and human services, as you'll see momentarily. On the human services side, one of our priorities was addressing the healthcare workforce shortage. So we put together a bill that addresses that in many different ways. We've heard this session from nursing facilities, group homes, families needing PCAs, and other caring providers about the need for higher wages to attract and retain quality staff. And we have provisions in this bill, such as increasing reimbursement rates, higher wages, money for retention payments, loan forgiveness programs, subsidized training, all of these provisions included to help address that workforce shortage in our caring professions. And we also have other broad provisions, many to address the social determinants of health, such as preventing homelessness, increasing access to behavioral health therapy, food security, addressing deep poverty, child welfare issues. And so all of these things we'll describe over the next 2 days in detail, but today we're just going to go through the spreadsheet. So I want to first thank the chairs of the division under Human Services, Chair Aisha Gomez, who chaired the Division of Preventing Homelessness, and Chair Peter Fisher, who chaired the Division of Behavioral Health. They both did incredible work this session. I just want to thank them. And now I'll turn it over to Chair Liebling.
All right, thank you. And don't forget Chair Mike Freiberg, who did the preventive health division as well. And I know I've forgotten a lot of people, including, of course, our wonderful CLAs. And what an incredible team. Anyway, on the health side, there are many tremendous provisions in this bill. The bill expands access to health care for Minnesotans. It addresses the high cost of prescription drugs, not entirely, but starts to really move in that direction. It builds the healthcare and caring workforce also in our side of the bill, and it makes that workforce more diverse and more sustainable. We have a focus on reducing lead, which those on the committee know we heard a number of bills on lead, and we're making some progress there. And then finally, I just will mention that we're building our public health and emergency response capabilities because we've had some lessons from the pandemic. The pandemic, we are concerned that it's not entirely over, but even if it is over, we need to be sure that we're ready for the next emergency. So we are building our resources there. So with that, I'm going to call on Doug Berg. Mr. Berg, if you wanted to go first, I'm not sure if Mr. Harney or Mr. Berg wanted to go first, but to walk through the spreadsheet, and this is the main event for the day, and these two, as we said, have just been absolutely amazing, and you will see there's a lot in this bill. So, Mr. Berg?
Madam Chair and members, Mr. Harney and I are going to kind of go back and forth some, so we'll see. We'll try to keep this as sort of smooth as possible, but there certainly will be a little back and forth. Can everybody see the spreadsheet on the screen at this point?
Yes, we can.
Just to orient members, these are the House columns. If members would like to see, I of course have the governor's columns, so we can't put that many up here and actually have it usable. So we're just showing what's in the DE amendment at this point. And the columns P, Q, and R are 22, 23, and the biennium together, and S, T are the tails 24 and 25, and the two together. And line 6 shows the net general fund expenditure. I'll draw members' attention to line cell 6R. This bill spends a net $700 million of general fund spending above, well, just spends it, and net $1.2 billion in 24-25. There's a little key here. We're trying again this year using a little color coding because that helps to highlight it on the screen, and it seems that people can see it better. In this scheme, the light blue are, you're going to see blanks. Those are early childhood items that are not in this DE. They either are or aren't in Representative Pinto's bill, and we'll come together with this in ways and means. The lavender items are the health and human services policy and finance items, and the light green are the human services finance items.
And Mr. Burke, I think it's a little mislabeled there. Because that, if you could go back. So it should just say health, policy, and finance.
Yes, there. Health and, yeah. Yes, all right. I will correct that later. Starting with the Department of Human Services and going down, the first item is a early childhood item of the governor's that is part of Representative Pinto's bill. I'm sorry, I've jumped ahead already. The first governor's item that is in this bill, it was a governor's recommendation, is also in this bill, is the Preserving American Indian Families item, which spends $1 million in the first biennium and $2 million in the second. The Family First Preservation Services Act implementation, this is phase three. Members will remember we've, the last two bills in a row, we've worked on implementation of the Federal Family First Services Act. This is a net $495,000 in 24-25 and $786,000 in the tails. Another governor's item is the American Indian Child Welfare Initiative planning for the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwa. That spends almost $2.8 million it spends $1.4 million in 22-23 and $2.8 million in 24-25. The governor's item for stabilizing working Minnesotans, which changes some rules and regulations around M50WAP cash assistance and in the child care program. This item also is in the bill and nets at $700,000 about to round out in 22-23 and $41.1 million in total. I will point out here that this has an $18.6 million general fund cost and in also a $22.5 million TANF cost. The next item is connecting Minnesotans to services and supports. This is a governor's item that is not in the bill. The next item is another early childhood item, the maximum rate item. That's a Pinto item, Representative Pinto's committee. Also, the forecasting basic sliding fee is not in here. And this one should be shaded blue. Childcare stabilization and supports is also being dealt with in the early childhood committee. Then the next item we come to is the governor's recommendation for investments in child welfare, prevention, and systemic needs. That's in this bill. It has a cost of $4.2 million in 22-23 and $93 million in 24-25. Next item is the governor's recommendation for food security for Minnesota families. That's also in this bill. It has got a total cost of $27 million in 22-23 and $8 million in 24-25. The governor's recommendation for building assets for Minnesota families is not in this bill. And the governor's recommendation for addressing homelessness for Minnesota adults, youth, and families is not in this bill, but there will be, we will come to a number of items that the Homelessness Prevention Committee chose to spend money on. And so this is out of this bill as an item that was dealt with by that committee. And you'll see what they did in a bit. The governor's recommendation for family and community resource hubs is in this bill. It has a total cost of $3.575 million in 22-23 and $37.974 million in the tails. The governor has a very extensive mental health package, which is also picked up in this bill. It has a cost of $12.5 million in 22-23 and $58.7 million in the tails, and there are quite a few different items as part of this package that are being funded. The governor has an initiative that is picked up here for addressing deep poverty in Minnesota. It is $82,000 in 22-23 and $45.5 million in the tails. The governor's recommendation for the EIDBI, American Indian Culturally Responsive Rate, this is the early intervention behavioral benefit in medical assistance, and this is conforms it for specifically for American Indian families. The governor's item for SUD direct access implementation and compliance, 1115 compliance, waiver compliance is in here. That is an expenditure of $543,000 in 22-23 and $1.4 million in the tails. The governor's item of retaining and expanding children's inpatient psychiatric and PRTF beds is in. This has a cost of $10.33 million in 22-23 and $15.6 million in the tails. We have the governor's item to reduce disparities in addressing the opioid epidemic. This has a total cost of $2.7 million in 22-23. 2.1 of that is spent from the general fund, and then there is a $551,000 expenditure from the opioid emergency response fund. And that has a total cost between the two of $5.3 million in the tails. The governor also has an item on opioid treatment program rate integrity, which costs $4.7 million in 22-23 and $251,000 from the general fund, in this case, in the tails. There are a number of items. I'll just pause here 1 second. The Children's Mental Health Respite Care Clarifications. This is not, we haven't zeroed this out. There are no costs to this item, but it is related to finance stuff. So there's a number of items on the sheet where they appear on the sheet, but they don't have costs. We probably should find a way to indicate here that we are taking the items. I think in all cases of those no cost items, the bill is doing them, so it, the absence of numbers is not indicating that it's not in the bill. Another housing item that the governor recommended that is was taken out here, and then the Housing Homelessness Prevention Committee made its own choices. This is the supporting and transitions to stable housing. We'll come to the housing portion in a bit. This is the self-directed collective bargaining agreement modifications, which has a cost of $8.3 million in 22-23 and $486,000 in the tails. The governor also has a very large workforce revitalization package for frontline workers. This has, you will note that it does have spending in behavioral health workforce incentive grants in 22 in the current year. The total package has a cost of $166.5 million in 22-23 and $102 million rounded in the tails. The largest thing, there are again a number of items in here. However, there is a, in addition to the $20 million behavioral health workforce incentive grant package, there's also a $118 million long-term care grant pool. Moving on, this is another of the no-cost items that is in the bill. It is technical modifications to the home and community-based service spending plan from last year's bill. The governor's item to start an electronic medical record program for the direct care and treatment part of DHS is here for $8.9 million in 22-23 and $7.7 million in the tails. And then I will turn it over to Mr. Harney.
Charlene Kirschholz, starting here on line 378, MA for foster care youth is a governor's item in the House bill. This complies with a federal requirement to extend MA for foster care youth who are enrolled at the age of 18. The cost here in fiscal year in the current bag is $792,000, and in the tails, the cost to the general fund is $316,000. Moving to line 382, supporting tribal providers and payments. This is an item in the governor's request that's in the House bill. The cost in the current biennium here is $604,000. To the general fund, and in the next biennium, the cost is $284,000. Line 387, responding to COVID-19 and Minnesota healthcare programs, a governor's item in the House bill that is split among the healthcare access fund and the general fund. The healthcare access fund cost in the current biennium is $2 million, and the general fund cost in the current biennium is $7,454,000. The tails, respectively, healthcare access fund $1 million, general fund $2,719,000. The next item on line 399, the removal of the dual supervision requirement. This is a requirement removal for Minnesota healthcare programs, a governor's item in the House bill that will cost $20,000 to the general fund in the current biennium and $70,000 in the tails. Moving to the next item, clarifying MHCP enrollee error overpayments. This is in the bucket of items that has a fiscal component, is in the bill, but nets out to no cost. Line 407, enhancing MHCP COVID-19 vaccination rates is governor's item that is not in the House bill. The next item on line 414 is supporting drug pricing litigation costs. This will cover subpoena expenses for drug price litigation at DHS. This net cost after FFP is $207,000 in fiscal year 22. The next item, line 422, continuous eligibility for children under 21. The MA cost to the general fund here in the current biennium is $1,124,000, and in the next biennium, $40,935,000. Getting to line 430, this is the governor's position on the public option that is not in the House bill. So we will skip then quickly down to House File 11. This is Chair Schultz's bill creating the Minnesota Care Public Option. These costs are contained to the Healthcare Access Fund, and those costs are $26,061,000 in the current biennium and $78,859,000 in the next biennium to the Healthcare Access Fund. Moving to the opt-out of managed care for MA enrollees, this is a savings to the general fund. That savings in the current biennium is $16,930,000. And in the next biennium, that savings to the general fund is $10,419,000. Line 470, newborn screening, small cost item in the governor's bill that is in the House bill, $3,000 in the general fund in the current biennium and $8,000 in the next. Line 475, grant funding to support urban American Indians in Minnesota healthcare programs. This cost, this is from the governor's budget and it is in the House bill. That cost it to the general fund is $2,518,000 in the current biennium, $5,030,000 in the tails. Moving now into some of the House bills. House File 3365 eliminates cost sharing in MA and Minnesota care. The cost to the general fund, the MA cost in the current biennium is $2,848,000 and $11,593,000 in the next biennium. The cost for Minnesota Care and the Healthcare Access Fund here is $10,879,000 in the current biennium and $59,682,000 in the next biennium. House File 3147, this is a, I believe, Representative Breyer bill. This modifies dental services to require coverage for all medically necessary dental services under MA. General fund cost here of $5,907,000 in the current biennium, a general fund cost of $29,589,000 in the tails. To have the healthcare access fund here, a $2.93 million cost in the current biennium and a $13,631,000 cost in the tails. Going back briefly here to some governor items that are in the House bill, background studies, emergency background study credit. This is a one-time cost in the current biennium to the general fund of $3,300,000. A governor's item in the House bill, critical resources for licensing, spans both bienniums, a $2.923 million cost in 22-23, and a $6,260,000 cost in the tails. Line 510, service delivery transformation continuation, a governor's request for substantial IT investment at the Department of Human Services is in the House bill. The total general fund cost here is $77,516,000, and that is contained in the current biennium. Another governor's item on line 518 is continuous improvement and compliance expansion. $1.5 million to the general fund in the current biennium and $3.3 million to the general fund in the next biennium. Line 524 represents the DHS cost in the MinSure IT proposal. After FFP, the general fund net cost for this provision at the department is $301,000 in the current biennium and $692,000 in the next. To speak briefly to the codification of emergency shelter improvements, this is another item in the governor's budget that has no cost. It clarifies shelter improvement language, but the language of it is in the bill. It's a net zero. And then the legalization of adult use cannabis. This is not in the House position in the House bill. House file 600, I believe, passed up the floor of the House at the end of the last session, and no costs are being carried in this bill for legalizing adult use per the governor's proposal. And I will now turn it back over to Mr. Berg.
And Madam Chair and members, the first item here is another item that is in the early childhood jurisdiction, and it's not here. Then we move on to House File 3844, which makes adjustments to economic assistance calculations. It has a cost of $146,000 in 22-23 and $4,781,000 in the tails. This item, House File 780, there is an issue with the language in the bill. The author's amendment that will likely come out on for markup on Friday will change this language. The language in the bill at this point in this tracking do not agree, but the language that will be put back in is reflected here by an expenditure of $2.3 million in 22-23 and $9.229 million in 24-25. There was a mix-up on the language, and so that will be corrected in the author's amendment. House File 1943 is Representative Pinto's bill. We had this in our bill last year as well. It makes changes to how child welfare and maltreatment reports are handled. It costs $75,000 in 22-23 and $28,000 in the tails. House File 3157 makes changes to the Employment Exploration Service base wage index, so it will increase the rate for people who are people providing the Employment Exploration Service. It has a cost of $64,000 in 22-23 and $653,000 in the tails. House File 2283 is Representative Albright's bill that does planning for the PACE program. It doesn't start it, but it's on the state on the road to it. The PACE program has to do with providing optimal care to elderly. I don't remember the acronym off the top of my head, but House File 3211 is Representative Pinto's bill that is attempting to get at the issue of the foster care youth who have their SSI funds taken at this point by the state, the counties, and to pay for their upkeep. And this would start the planning to a system where there could be trust accounts for those individuals to put their SSI funds in. Again, this doesn't actually get the program growing, but it starts the planning for it, which is complicated. This costs $304,000 in 22-23 and $319,000 in the tails. Representative 4447, or House File 4447, which is Representative Schultz's bill, is or a part of Representative Schultz's bill, increases spending in the elderly waiver rate framework and related parts of that, the CDCS program, and the homemaker services rate. This has a cost of $7.996 million in 22-23 and $74.016 million in the tails. House File 3717 is for a delivery reform analysis project. This is a cost of $673,000 in 22-23 and $549,000 in the tails.
Chair Liebling, Chair Schultz, Chair Liebling's bill, House File 2773, which tethers the MA income standard to 133% of the federal poverty line effective January 1st, 2025. Has a cost of $80 million to the general fund in that fiscal year, rounding out to the total in the next biennium. The amounts that you may see in yellow highlighted here are numbers that are continuing to get refined, and for Mr. Berg would maybe require some more refinement in an author's amendment later. The next line, 611, House File 447, a Representative Aikum bill for expanding mammogram diagnostics and testing coverage. The only cost here is the state, the majority of the cost here, rather, is the state share of systems cost at the Department of Human Services. That is $16,000 in the current biennium and $10,000 in the next biennium.
And the next item on is House File 3199, which changes the number of hours which parents can be eligible for in the PCA program. This has a cost of $736,000 in 22-23 and $7.18 million in the tails.
The item online 622, House File 2915, expands coverage for ectodermal dysplasia. The costs here are not the full cost to this bill. Members will remember that there's a piece in the Department of Commerce that requires, I believe, under the ACA to defray the private insurance cost. But for the Department of Human Services, the cost for the expanded coverage is $10,000 in the current biennium and $86,000 to the general fund in the next biennium.
Mm-hmm. House File 3524 had really three pieces in it. It had the homemaker rates, which are, I already mentioned, are part of Representative Schultz's elderly waiver package above. This is the home care evaluations piece, which costs $1,880,000 in 22-23. And $8,329,000 in the tails. There is a third piece of this bill, which is still being costed, that involves care coordination in this space, and that may or may not be included at a future point if that can get costed out.
On line 640, House File 3691, a Representative Hewitt bill. This requires the commissioner, among other things, to adjust rates based on the average cost of gasoline in the state, either up or down. There is a second portion of this bill that will be at the end of the spreadsheet that is for the EMSRB itself, but the cost to the Commissioner of Human Services in the department in the current biennium is a general fund total of $1.5 million and in the tails a cost of $676,000.
House File 2925 starts a home and community-based services, shared services training grant, support coordination training grant. It has a cost of $999,000 in 22-23 and $924,000 in the tails. We don't have a bill number on this. There were several bills that increased rates at ICFBDs, and we frequently have ones for individual facilities that leads to the situation where there are many facilities around the state that have varying rates. The department and Chair Liebling were interested in doing a rate study to try to determine what the correct rate across the state would be, and that's what this item does, is does a rate study for those facilities. It has a net cost of $170,000 in 2022-23 and nothing in the tails. House File 3815 is Representative Moran's Quality Parenting Initiative. It costs $100,000 in 22-23. House File 1383 is the Minnesota Association for Volunteer Administration Bill. It's a grant to the MAVA, as it's referred to, for $1 million in 22-23. House File 611 was passed by the House last year and is also in this bill. It changes the SNAP income limits. The only costs to do so are systems costs of $8,000 in the first year and $2,000 a year after that, so $4,000 in the tails. It increases the amount, the income limit for SNAP benefits, but 100% of the cost of those benefits are paid by the federal government. House File 3919 is called Life Sharing Services. This involves people who can share their lives with people who need assistance. This, again, is kind of the preliminary work, as my understanding. It doesn't quite get the program off the ground, but it starts on the road to that. It costs $77,000 in 22-23 and $58,000 in the tails. House File 2840 is a grant to a nonprofit organization that is meant to assist. They have a center to assist people in supportive decision making. This is for families and individuals who are where an individual is experiencing cognitive decline and is helping them and their family make decisions during that period. The cost of that is $660,000 in 22-23 and $1,240,000 in the tails. House File 3338 is the Direct Care Service Corps bill that costs $510,000 in 22-23 and $10,000 in the tails. This attempts to, I believe, get younger people involved in becoming service workers for their home and community-based service-type programs. This one, the shading just is not here.
House File 3418 is a Representative Vang bill, a package of appropriations. This one is for the Department of Human Services, as defined in the bill, for cultural and ethnic minority infrastructure grant programs. As amended, the cost in that bill to the department would be approximately $10,150,000 in the current biennium and $10,300,000 in the next biennium. House File 3090 starts a package of bills that are in a forthcoming, I believe, division report from Preventing Homelessness from Chair Gomez. House File 3090, Emergency Shelter Facilities Grants, helps defray capital cost to the tune of $75 million in the current biennium, available until the end of fiscal year 25, I believe, to the general fund, as well as $400,000 net to the Department of Human Services for administration. That cost continues to administer into the tails, a total of $930,000 in administrative costs. House File 3294 are emergency services grants, emergency services grants. This cost to the general fund is $35,132,000 in the current biennium and $50,294,000 in the tails. That is inclusive of the grants and the cost to DHS to administer them. House File 3661 are Homeless Youth Act grants. These grants in the current biennium total $10,282,000. And in the next biennium, the cost to the general fund here is $20,314,000. Both those numbers are inclusive of the cost to administer at the department. House File 3599 appropriates safe harbor grants to the Department of Human Services. That cost in the current biennium to the safe harbor program is $5,639,000 to the general fund and $11,314,000 in the next biennium. House File 3200 is transitional housing program grants, $2,639,000 in the current biennium to the general fund, $5,314,000 in the next biennium. These next two items, House File 4427, is one-time money to Hennepin County homelessness for Simpson housing capital cost for $4 million in fiscal year 22, and for the continuation of services provided under funds in the CARES and ARPA Act at federal level. The total for Hennepin County in this bill and in the division report is $6 million in the current biennium. The next, again, is a one-time appropriation for a grant to Ramsey County Continuum of Care. House File 4427 appropriates that $8 million in fiscal year 22, and I believe these are available until fiscal year 25.
House File 3280 refers to the what we call the clinician-administered drugs, but I think members know this bill by the name of white bagging. This is deals with how PBMs can regulate people's choices in pharmacy, I guess is the way to describe it. It cost $615,000 in 22-23 and $2.9 million in 24-25. This one is one that we are still waiting on, the House File 3786, the intractable pain definition. There, it changes the definition in statute. DHS does believe this has a cost to them. They are working on that number, and these, as Mr. Harney said, the ones that have highlighting in yellow are ones where we're waiting for further information from the department on those. House File 3615 deals with the cost of foster care and juvenile detention costs for families. This sets up a pool of money for counties and tribes to get reimbursed for their costs for to stop charging the families for foster care and juvenile detention costs, but the counties then can defray their costs and the tribes by applying to this pool. It's in yellow because we didn't have the administrative costs on here yet, which actually will be in the author's amendment for the next iteration. House File 3737, the behavioral health home modifications. Again, this is an item we're waiting for information from the department on. This is an estimated number at this point, and it'll get refined as the department provides further information. House File 4062, the MA coverage of Children's Hospice. Mr. Harney, I was going to let you do this.
Yeah, Mr. Berg doesn't need to scroll up for a clarification I'm going to make, but I wanted to round out the Chair Gomez division report. There are two items that aren't on the spreadsheet, One of which is in the appropriations article in the delete everything amendment. That one is for ShelterLink grants, House File 3717, that will be corrected and added in for the committee, the joint committee and both committees for tomorrow and Friday. The second bill to round up the Chair Gomez division report is the Representative Herr bill to modify income requirements, House File 3568. Waiting on an estimate from the department to that end. And once that is there, it will be included in a future author's amendment. Now to get back to where we are on this spreadsheet for House File 4062 is providing MA coverage for children in hospice care. The awaiting further refinement of the numbers, but an estimated cost of $330,000 in the current biennium to the general fund and $300,000 in the next biennium.
And House File 4085 makes adjustments to the PCA program to allow the counting of driving for PCAs would be allowed to be paid for their time driving their clients. This has a cost of $1,632,000 in 2022-23 and $12,082,000 in the tails.
House File 4472 is a Representative Ryer bill to create a dental home pilot program. The administrative costs are unknown yet still, but the grant program estimated pilot is $1 million to the general fund in the current biennium. These next two items, House File 3854 and 3958, do have completed fiscal notes but need to be updated. The HIV prevention PEP and PrEP bill has an MA cost to access these drugs of $118,000 in the current biennium and $236,000 in the tail. That should change for the committee shortly. And then MA coverage of seizure detection devices, again, would be approximately $25,000 to the general fund and $80,000 to the general fund in the tails.
Madam Chair and members, House File 2733 is the bill that deals with locked ERTS facilities, intensive residential treatment services, and allows for there to be secure ERTS. This is a startup which would allow for 16 secured beds in ERTS facilities. It has a cost of $2,877,000 in 2022-23. And $123,000 in 24-25.
Chair Liebling, Chair Schultz, House File 3153 expands coverage for tobacco cessation treatment in MA. A minimal cost to the general fund of $35,000 in the current biennium and $44,000 in the next biennium.
And Madam Chair, House File 3396 deals with a disability services task force. This is, again, an estimated number here. I have some communication with the department that there needs to be a little work on the language for them to clarify what the cost of this will be, but a task force on these services that is a one-time cost will not be, it won't be high, but this is not accurate yet. House File 3377 is a youth homelessness prevention pilot program. It costs $1,219,000 in 22-23. House File 3372 is Representative Moran's African American Mental Health Center grant. It has a total cost of $1,071,000 for a mental health center grant. House File 4021 is the Children's Residential Crisis Standard Bill. It has an estimated cost of $3.15 million in 22-23 and $6.3 million in 24-25. Again, that's an estimation. The department is still working on the fiscal note. House File 3274 is a children's residential treatment bill, I believe Representative Fisher's bill. It has a cost of $2,578,000 in 22-23. And $122,000 in the tails. House File 1929 is Representative Bonner's bill on children's first psychosis episode. This is, and also discussed as the Emerging Mood Disorder Program. This has a cost of $407,000 in 22-23 and $884,000 in 24-25. This is an item that is recognizing assumed revenue to the state in enhanced FMAP, which is federal medical assistance participation. If the public health emergency, the federal public health emergency, continues into the next quarter, the state will get an estimated $239.542 million of additional FMAP, and with a cost to that of $6,585,000 in the tails. And that's what it does. It recognizes the additional FMAP that we will get should the public health emergency continue. This is just a balancing item. Members have seen before, this is moving money in the first instance in this biennium into the Healthcare Access Fund. We add $134 million to the Healthcare Access Fund and increase the medical assistance, the general fund medical assistance expenditure, and decrease the Healthcare Access Fund expenditure. In the tails, we increase the Healthcare Access Fund expenditure by about half that amount and decrease the general fund expenditure. This is just a method of balancing our bill since that program is in both the Healthcare Access Fund and the general fund.
Chair Liebling, that concludes the Department of Human Services portion of the bill. I'm going to continue on for the remainder to cover the Department of Health. Beginning here with the 988 National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, in the governor's bill, in the governor's proposal, there's a recommendation to fund the transition to from Minnesota's current National Suicide Prevention Lifeline Center's phone number into the federally mandated 988 phone number. The governor's position is to fund that cost, the cost of the grants, via a surcharge. I believe it's a 10-cent surcharge on all phone lines in the state. The House position in the House bill is to not do that and rather provide those grants with available funds via a general fund appropriation to the department to disperse that to the units throughout the state. That cost is $8,671,000 to the general fund in fiscal year 22-23 and $20,028,000 in fiscal year 24-25. The next item here on line 873 is addressing growing health care costs. This is the governor's proposal that is carried in the House budget that will impact the general fund to a tune of $3,375,000 in fiscal year 22-23 and $8,350,000 in fiscal year 24-25. The next item, a governor's item related to assisted living and home care facilities, will have a cost in the current biennium for $4,167,000 and in the next biennium, $8,334,000. The governor proposes a package of grants for climate resiliency that is carried in the House bill here. Those grant costs are $1 million in the grants themselves, $977,000 to administer, for a total of $1,907,000 in the current biennium, and that total is the same in the next biennium. A governor's proposal for community healing, a package of items, is not in the House bill. A portion next to support community health workers through grants at the department is in the House bill. This is a amount to the general fund to $1.462 million in the current biennium and $2,195,000 in the next. Community solutions is in the governor's proposal, and there was a House file 4099 heard by Health Finance Committee, a similar direct appropriation for grants for community solutions to the tune of $10 million in the current biennium and $20 million in the next.
Can I just offer, Sorry, Joe. Can I just offer one thing here in case members are confused here, because we got a note from the health department that we actually have the numbers here reversed. It's not $8.9 million in admin and $1,250,000 in grants. Those two numbers should be reversed.
Thank goodness.
The next governor's item acknowledges disability as a health equity issue, and it is in the House bill. I believe this number is flipped to that the correct ed cost to administer is $445,000, and the cost for the grants is $1.13 million in fiscal year 23. The totals here to the general fund is $1,575,000 and $3,170,000 in the next biennium. The next item worth pausing for a moment on is the Drinking Water and Wastewater Advisory Council. This council expired a few years ago. I can't remember off the top of my head the exact year, but the appropriation for the state government special revenue fund didn't. So the bill and the governor's bill is a no-cost item that the House is carrying that would reinstate the council and maintain the existing current law state government special revenue fund appropriation to the council. Next is a drug overdose and substance abuse prevention item that is in the governor's budget and fully funded in the House bill. It's right there. That's $5,042,000 in the current biennium and $10,084,000 in the next. Engineering planning review fees. This smooths out the scale and cost of licensing engineering plans at the department. And would result in a net increase to the state government special revenue fund of estimated $170,000 in the current biennium and $340,000 in the next. There is family planning special projects. I don't believe it's House File 258. I believe this is House File 2580 with some crossover to House File and in the governor's proposal that would impact the general fund in the current biennium to the tune of $3,467,000, and the next biennium of $6,934,000. An item in the governor's budget proposal that the House is not hearing is the health provider directory. An item in the governor's proposal that the House is carrying is the Healthy Beginnings, Healthy Families Initiative. This is inclusive of grants to the Minnesota Collaborative to Prevent Infant Mortality, screening and follow-up services, and model jail practices for incarcerated parents. The whole package in sum is an impact to the general fund of $11,700,000 in the current biennium, $23,581,000 in the next. The governor's proposal had a substantial investment in universal home visiting. The House position is to fund a universal program at a base level of funding per House File 3886 at $62,386,000 in the current biennium and at $124,772,000 in the next. This one isn't in yellow, but it should be. We received feedback from the department as to the breakout of the cost to administer the grants that will be updated but not increase the net base appropriation in the bill. Next item here is a couple of lead remediation items in the governor's bill that the House is carrying. This is for lead remediation grants in schools and child care settings. There is a portion later that is for testing, but this is for remediation costs. The cost to remediate and the grants therein in the current biennium is $2,054,000 and $3,081,000 in the tails. There's a lead service line inventory proposal in the governor's budget that has crossover directly with House File 4429. I believe the Representative Jordan bill that would require and give the department funding to administer a grant program for an inventory of lead service lines throughout the state. This is not a remediation piece. This is just an inventory piece. The cost here is $4,029,000 in the current biennium. And cost of $4,169,000 to the general fund in the next. Scrolling down here, like was stated for the Department of Human Services, similar statement needed for the legalization of adult use cannabis. The governor's budget proposal does carry the legalization of adult use cannabis. The House proposal does not, as the House passed House File 600 at the end of last session. There is some grant and dollars set aside here for the study and impact of long COVID to Minnesotans in the governor's budget and the House is carrying in the House file. That cost is $2,669,000 in fiscal year 22-23 and $7,412,000 in fiscal year 24-25. Item here, the medical cannabis patient fee reduction reduced. This is a governor's, I'm going to pass quickly on this because there is a House file, I believe Representative Edelson, bill that the House is carrying instead of the governor's proposal. So I will move on then just quickly to medical education and research cost fund administration grants that net out to zero. Another item that has a corresponding House file that the House is carrying but is in the governor's bill is mercury in skin lightening products that will come later. Then we have, no surprises, ACT enforcement. The enforcement cost to the general fund at the department is $964,000 in the current biennium and $1,520,000 in the next. We have next for the committee a opioid overdose prevention and HIV prevention for people experiencing homelessness grant program. This is a governor's proposal carried in the House that will impact the general fund in the current biennium to the tune of $1,129,000 and $2,258,000 in the next biennium. There is a public health systems transformation item that was in the governor's revised supplemental budget that is being carried in the House file, a package of grants to community health boards, tribal governments, AmeriCorps, and some cost to the department to administer. The total public health system transformation in the current biennium is $2,023,531,000 and $47,062,000 in the tails. There is a big package funded via the Healthcare Access Fund in the governor's proposal that the House is carrying for revitalizing healthcare workforce. Rural clinical training grants, primary care residency training grants, international immigrant testing, international immigrant medical training grants, site-based clinical training, and mental health occupational training grants. The total cost to the Healthcare Access Fund that the House is carrying is $21,575,000 in the current biennium and $43,150,000 in the next biennium for the whole package. Safety improvements for long-term care facilities is a governor's proposal carried in the House file. These grants and the cost to administer them account for $5,500,000 in spending to the general fund in the current biennium and $8,200,000 in general fund spending in the next biennium. School health is a governor's proposal that has crossed over with House file 3114. The amount carried is the amount the governor proposed in their bill. That amount to the general fund is $837,000 in the current biennium and $6,749,000 in the next biennium. An item in the governor's budget that the House is not carrying is the Deadly Force Encounters Sentinel Review program at the Department of Health. There is a trauma system fee adjustment that impacts both the state government special revenue fund and the general fund. The net general fund cost here is $415,000 in the current biennium, $830,000 in the next. I believe that rounds it up for the governor's proposals that impact the Department of Health. The next chunk of items here are House files considered by Chair Lee Blaine's committee. The health data collection modifications, House File 3696, sets up a cost to administer to the general fund that would be $342,000 in the current biennium and 441,000 in the next biennium. House File 2663, I believe, is a Representative Richardson bill that would...
Hollins, excuse me.
Thank you, Chair Liebling. This would be a cost to the state government special revenue fund for the changing of sex on birth certificates. That cost in, to the state government special revenue fund is $75,000 in the current biennium and $14,000 in the next. House File 2499 is a Representative Bolden bill. This the Representative Bolden bill requires the department to contract with the University of Minnesota to conduct a cost-benefit analysis of a universal health care reform project. That cost stretches over the two bienniums, but is considered to be one time. It's $461,000 in the current biennium, stretching to $288,000 in the next biennium for the general fund. House File 3898, this, I believe this is mislabeled. I think it should be House File 3003. This is a portion of that bill to provide grants to test for lead at licensed child and daycare facilities in the state. We talked about the cost to remediate at child care facilities in the governor's proposal a few minutes ago. This cost is contained to testing, and that cost to the general fund would be $1 million in the current biennium and $2 million in the next. House File 1419, as amended, is the House position on skin lightening products containing mercury. For grants totaling with cost to administer of $100,000 to the general fund in the current biennium and $200,000 in the next biennium. House File 1888 is a Representative Hewitt bill that Health Finance heard and considered as amended, which would set up cost to the state government special revenue fund for oversight and changes to the scope of practice for mortuary scientists in the state, and that cost to the state government special revenue fund is $219,000 in the current biennium and $193,000 in the next biennium. House File 2586, as amended, the Emmett Lewis Till Victims Recovery Program is a one-time appropriation from the general fund, I believe, available until the end of the next biennium for $500,000, and that I believe has some reporting requirements attached to it as well. House File 3119, this is the House position on the modification of medical cannabis patient enrollment fees. If I remember correctly, I believe this eliminates all application costs to MA patients enrolled in the program and reduces the cost to all other patients enrolled to the program, I believe from $200 to $40 annually. This smooths out the cost to medical cannabis was a net contributor to state government special revenue fund, and this smooths out the contribution to be in line with the use out of the fund at the department more. House File 3162, as amended, is a Representative Freiberg bill that is in the House bill here. This is a cost to the department to advise tribal nations in the state for their setting up of tribal medical compact, and the cost here is $596,000 in the current biennium and $440,000 in the tails. There is a one-time study proposed in the House bill, House File 3360, for pulsed forms, a one-time cost of $292,000. To the general fund in the current biennium. And we saw House File 3418 in the Department of Human Services. This is a part of the Representative Vang package of mental health professionals grant and loan forgiveness programs that are carried in the House bill impacting the Department of Health. The package itself dictates the administration of a loan forgiveness program, professional scholarships, an information clearinghouse at the department, and the cost of the general fund is $1,275,000 in the current biennium and $2,528,000 in the next biennium. Health Finance Committee heard a package of bills related to healthcare professional loan forgiveness. The House position is to where those bills added professions to the underlying loan forgiveness statute and program at the department, would to add them, and those that were direct appropriations to a specific subset of those in current law, mental health, not mental health, healthcare professional recipients into one line item rider for that program administration, which increases the funds available for loan forgiveness at the department to $22 million in the current biennium and $44 million in the next biennium. House File 3989, I think it's House File 3898, I believe, rather, this will be correctly labeled, is the Representative Jordan bill to adjust the elevated blood level down and also appropriate money to local public health units and organizations to respond therein based on the decrease in the elevated blood level, anticipating an increase in services rendered to that end. That cost to administer at the department the elevated blood level is only $172,000 in the current biennium, but the grants provided in the House proposal here is $16 million in fiscal year 23 and $10 million in the tails. House File 2517 is an appropriation to the Department for the Palliative Care Advisory Council. This is a $44,000 a year appropriation in the current biennium, totaling $88,000 in the next biennium. One item that I believe is a Representative Gomez bill expands the number of medical cannabis manufacturers in the state from a limit of two, I believe, up to 10. There could be an anticipated state government special revenue cost here. It is in yellow because we do not yet have, as a committee and a joint committee, the full understanding of the costs and revenues from the proposal. House File 3242 is a Representative Olson bill related to nurse staffing. One chunk of that package is for loan forgiveness to nurses, nurse supervisors, and for grants associated to the maintenance of nurse mental health. There is another component to the department for administration related to, I believe, nurse staffing levels. That the total amount for the entire package, this is an estimate. We do have a completed fiscal note that came just before committee that will slightly update this figure, but the amount held here is $9,847,000 in the current biennium and $19,901,000 in the next biennium. Another item with a placeholder amount that should be coming shortly to the legislature is Representative Schultz's House File 4430, creating the Healthcare Affordability Board in the executive branch. There is $5 million each fiscal year, beginning in fiscal year 23, held here as a placeholder for costs to the Department of Health to provide technical and contract assistance to the board for their responsibilities. Again, $5 million in the current biennium, $10 million in the next biennium to the general fund.
Mr. Harney, We are kind of running out of time.
Sure.
I know you're close to the end, but maybe just do a little less detail because we would like to hear from the commissioners just briefly before we finish it.
Sure thing, Chair.
Thank you.
Representative Bolden bill for antigen testing masks, $15 million direct appropriation to the department to the general fund. There was added here to the House File a public health response contingency account transfer. The bill transfers $20 million from the general fund to be deposited into the contingency account for future public health response emergencies. There's cost here for the Department of Health next, $5 million in the current biennium for any the administration of lead service line replacement. There is House File 4103 local and tribal public health grants that is, I believe, a Representative Hewitt bill that is $9.9 million in the current biennium and $19.8 million in the next biennium. And that's the last one of the Representative or Chair Gomez package for safe harbor grants related to homelessness. House File 3599 is a cost to the department of $2,169,000 in the current biennium and $3,712,000 in the next. We'll move quickly here to the health-related boards. Board of Dentistry scope of practice adjustment, $3,000 to the state government special revenue fund. A governor's proposal to the state government special revenue fund that impacts the Board of Dietetics and Nutrition Practice of $25,000. There is House File 3924 to the Board of Pharmacy, a general fund appropriation that would require them to enter into a contract for a pharmacist benefits. House File 430 represents the creation of the board in the executive branch, the Schultz file, the Healthcare Affordability Board. There is a governor's proposal that the House is carrying for the Council on Disability. That is a $375,000 base adjustment and $750,000 base adjustment in the details. The Representative Hewitt bill, House File 3691, this is a one-time cost to the Emergency Medical Services Regulatory Board of $200,000 in the current biennium. The cost to the Department of Commerce from House File 801 and House File 2915 totals $251,000 to the general fund in the current biennium and $836,000 in the next biennium. There are MNSURE costs proposed by the governor related. There's MNSURE costs in the governor's budget that is carried in the House file, $7,775,000 in the current biennium, $17,432,000 in the next biennium. A portion of that is for the public option Chair Schultz proposal. Lastly, there is the Representative Winkler Nursing Home Workforce Standards Board at the Department of Labor and Industry. And then to round out here, Chair Leland, Chair Schultz, we have calls to the Attorney General one time for expert investigator and witnesses from House File 1183 and Prescription Drug Act litigation costs in House File 801.
Thank you so much. So it's speed talking. Just goes right along with the job, and thank you. I mean, I hope members and the public can understand this, you know, even just the work it takes to walk through the spreadsheet, and obviously the expertise and the time and hard work behind getting this all together. And I also do want to recognize the staff at the agencies who are doing these fiscal notes and doing them, working so hard to get all this together. So thank you to everybody. So we do have our two commissioners here with us who I think would like to make just some very brief comments. And we do have about, well, we have until 4:45, and then I think most members probably all have caucus. So I think that's a hard stop. So we could start with Commissioner Harpstead. Welcome to the committee, and looking forward to hearing your comments.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, Chair Liebling, Chair Schultz, and committee members. I'm Jody Harpstead, the Commissioner of the Department of Human Services. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today on your omnibus budget proposals. Less than a year ago, we worked together to create a historic health and human services budget that will have generational impact. I'm excited to be here with you today to discuss this historic budget package, which will help us address the challenges we face today while investing in the future to ensure we emerge from the COVID pandemic stronger than ever before. To start, we want to express our sincere appreciation that your omnibus budget package includes, in some cases, builds on so many of the governor's priorities for DHS programs and services. Most notably, investments to support the caring professions workforce. We appreciate that your budget expands on the investments in the governor's package to provide even more support to hard-hit areas of our workforce. Resources to support reprocessing healthcare eligibility for 1.4 million Minnesotans on our public health programs following the end of the federal public health emergency. This will be crucial to ensuring that people do not see service interruptions. Investments to improve DHS operations, expand compliance activities, meet increased licensing demands and credit providers for background studies, as well as funding for IT systems work to transform human service delivery into an integrated, person-centered experience. Funding to continue the development of the electronic medical record within our direct care and treatment system. This will improve patient care and outcomes across the entire behavioral health care system operated by DHS. a robust package of investments to continue building Minnesota's behavioral health infrastructure to make sure this sector is able to meet the growing needs of Minnesotans coming out of the pandemic, including efforts to tackle the opioid crisis with a focus on addressing the deep disparities among communities feeling the most devastating impacts in terms of overdose deaths. Investments to expand access to affordable and comprehensive health care through the creation of a Minnesota Care buy-in, improve health equity by making changes that, as our Dr. Chomolo talks about, build equity into the walls of Minnesota's public health care programs and ensure children do not have their health care interrupted throughout the year. Initiatives to support tribal communities to provide culturally relevant health care, behavioral health, child welfare, and food support to people in their communities. In addition, we're pleased to see shared priorities for investments to address Minnesota's homelessness crisis. These investments are urgently needed, and we appreciate the House is proposing historic investments to meet this need. We would like to continue discussing some of the DHS proposals that were not included, particularly those that continue initiatives being funded with HCBS FMAP dollars, which will face a funding cliff without ongoing resources. We also appreciate you including other important recommendations from the governor's budget, as well as the DHS policy proposals, which include federal compliance and technical changes that support our efforts to cross our T's and dot our I's. Lastly, there are a few recommendations from the governor's budget not included, such as expanding the Family Assets for Independence in Minnesota program, which gives people with low incomes matched savings accounts. We'd like to continue discussing these as we move into our next phase of the session. Thank you again for all of your work putting together a budget that will help us transform Minnesota's health and human services system to meet the needs of our state as we come out of the pandemic. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Commissioner Harpstead. And Commissioner Malcolm, welcome to the committee.
Thank you so much, Chair Liebling and Chair Schultz, and members of both the Health and Human Services Committees. I'm Jan Malcolm, Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Health. I, too, am really gratified to be with you today before both of your committees as we begin this very challenging work of finalizing an HHS budget, which would echo my colleague Commissioner Harpstead's comments, has the potential to build on historic accomplishments last year and really meet the moment of where we are coming out of this COVID pandemic. I want to thank you, Madam Chairs and members of both committees, again, once again, for the phenomenal support that you've provided to certainly MDH and our local public health colleagues and our human services colleagues over the last 2 years. Your commitment to strengthening public health in Minnesota and to strengthening the factors that help to produce healthier people in the human service system in Minnesota is so appreciated. And this budget really reflects your priorities and our mutual priorities. I appreciate that you, at the outset, acknowledged the tremendous work that the House staff have put into getting this bill ready. Well, we all know that the HHS budget bill is just a huge lift. And I just wanted to add my personal thanks on behalf of myself and my team at MDH. We are just always amazed by the incredible professionals we have working with us in among the Advisor's Office and House Research and Fiscal staff, partisan and nonpartisan staff. Minnesotans don't know how fortunate they are to have such dedicated and high quality public servants. And thank you too for your acknowledgement of the hard work of our agency staffs. As a reminder, our proposals and the governor's proposals for the Minnesota Department of Health this year fell into four main categories, and I'm really gratified to see the inclusion of so many of our proposals in your budget bill. The first category had to do with healthcare access and affordability, including the really important part of health reform and health value to understand and address growing healthcare costs. And revitalizing the healthcare workforce is such a critical priority, especially coming out of the pandemic, but it's been building for a long time before the pandemic, as you know. Enforcing the federal No Surprises Act, I think, is one of the most important things we can do to protect consumers and build a stronger system of accountability in our state. The second category of public health prevention, as you just heard from Mr. Harney's walkthrough, contains a really impressively wide variety of prevention opportunities, really spanning infectious disease, chronic disease, environmental health concerns and those social determinants that Chair Schultz mentioned around homelessness, for example. Also dealing with things like disability as a health equity issue. We've learned so much through the pandemic with and from the disability community about ways in which our programs are not sufficiently integrated and focused on the unique concerns of folks with disabilities. We're grateful for the attention to lead remediation in schools and childcare settings, the ability to do a thorough inventory of where the lead service lines are in Minnesota, as well as to respond to them with mitigation strategies, the climate resiliency issues, such a wide range of opportunities to do a better job in prevention. And we've just been reminded so strongly these last couple of years of the degree to which the pandemic has exacerbated some of these longstanding challenges to the health of our people, shown a new light, created some additional challenges, but really also has reminded all of us profoundly about how much our communities are depending on us in public health for our work on a wide range of issues, even as we have become, have been so kind of overtaken, all of us in different ways, by COVID these last 2 years. The third category of supporting families and children in the governor's budget and you have picked up here includes critical funding for data collection and guidance to providers and consumers and support on coming out of this pandemic, learning and supporting people who will experience long COVID, going to be a public health issue for some time. Appreciate your inclusion of the Community Solutions Grant, solutions which are coming directly from the community to deal with issues through a responsive lens of what's going to really work in different communities. And really significant new investments in funding for family home visiting, as well as family planning special projects and school health, Healthy Beginnings, the Healthy Families Initiative, all of which are informed by an equity lens to reduce disparities in early childhood outcomes and to reduce disparities among those who've been hardest hit by the COVID pandemic. We also appreciate that you have picked up a number of the proposals to sustain some of the core public health program work that we do, the really some of the basic blocking and tackling of some of our programs. But I really want to comment for a moment about the investments that you are proposing to make in ongoing general fund investments in the state, local, and tribal governmental public health system, which we have been so reliant on these last couple of years. This funding goes far beyond just what we've managed to do with the COVID response over these last couple of years. It really helps to build a stronger public health system to carry out our most basic foundational public health responsibilities, which does, again, span the continuum of not only the skills, the resources, the tools needed to prevent and control infectious diseases, which may be what have been most notable for these last couple of years, but also addressing environmental health threats, improving the health of communities, going upstream to try to reduce the burdens of chronic illness, trying to enhance the social determinants of health, and improving access to healthcare services. We've seen over literally decades eroding funding at the federal and state levels at the same time as we've confronted emerging health threats, widening health inequities, and the need for new skills and capabilities. And the lack of that sustained investment has really left Minnesota with a public health system that all of us in the field would agree is probably best described as a patchwork quilt of programs and activities of really uneven capability around the state. And the COVID-19 pandemic certainly highlighted some of those gaps in our system. We strongly believe that public health protection shouldn't be based on where you live, that state, local, and tribal public health departments have a unique responsibility to serve the entire community, a unique responsibility to diagnose, prevent, and respond to challenges that affect all members of the public without regard to their insurance status or any other kind of qualifying indicators for how people access healthcare services. Communities rely on public health departments for so much, for data, for analysis, for partnerships, and for guidance to handle challenging health issues. And we certainly think that now, coming out of this pandemic, when we've relied so heavily on the public health workforce and on public health capabilities, that it's a great time, a tremendous time, and a necessary time to put those lessons to work to strengthen the entire public health system going forward, to better serve all of our communities, and to move away from a system that's driven by a complex mix of inconsistent and inflexible funding to one in which every community can expect a basic level of public health protections. And we are very, very grateful for your inclusion of those direct acknowledgments of the public health system and workforce. We're very much looking forward. We know that these will be challenging next few weeks as we work with you and your Senate counterparts to try to put together the best possible bill to keep Minnesota moving forward on these issues. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Really appreciate both commissioners, and also we want to acknowledge both of your work and your incredible leadership for our state, which is only partly reflected here in the proposals before us. I know that you a lot of your work goes on behind the scenes, unrecognized or unseen by many of us, and we know you're there working hard every day, and we really appreciate you. So we do have a few minutes that we could, I'm going to turn this over to Chair Schultz to maybe call on members and moderate some questions if there are some.
Sure. Thank you, Chair Liebling. I just want to also acknowledge that it's Public Health Week. Our governors recognize that, and so if you maybe could take some time to thank your local and county public health workers, I'm sure they would be very appreciative. So I just want to thank my public health workers in St. Louis County for all they do, and really across the state. Thank you. So members, with that, do you have any questions for the commissioners or for our fiscal staff? And we also have nonpartisan staff with us today. I think we've stunned them, Chair Liebling.
Well, I wish I could go back and make Mr. Harney not have to talk so fast. But
well, we'll have opportunities when we present the bills Thursday and Friday. So Thursday, we'll go through an overview of the bills in each committee. And then on Friday, we will take public testimony. Is that correct, Chair Liebling?
Thursday, we're taking public testimony. Yeah, which is tomorrow. So things are going to move pretty quickly here. And I know that, as always, we'll be continuing to work as members saw and the public saw. There are still some numbers to come in on spreadsheets. And this is putting together the HHS budget is always a tremendous lift this year, probably more than most. And we're going to continue to work and refine what is here, and we invite members to, be looking at the bill and be talking with us and be talking with the nonpartisan staff. If you notice mistakes, you have questions about what's here, and that's how we get the best possible product, is when we have a lot of sharp minds looking at it. So. And of course, welcoming the public to reach out to us as well. So with that, no questions for fiscal staff today? Anything that needs clarification?
We want to mention the amendment. We will be bringing forward amendments, because there are mistakes, of course, when we have something that's this large. So we'll be bringing forward author's amendments to fix any mistakes that are in the bill. So I just want members to be aware of that. And I believe the deadline for my committee is 3:00.
Right. And the deadline for health is 5:00 for amendments. So this is tomorrow. And but we will be taking public testimony tomorrow in the different committees. So, and then markup is going to be Friday. Okay. So, Chair Schultz, I turn it over to you to wrap up. And
we
should wrap up.
I just want to keep thanking everyone, because this is really an incredible bill again this year. And just please look through the bill, make sure that It's correct. If your bill is in there, look at the language very carefully so we can make corrections in an author's amendment. And with that, members, enjoy the rest of your evening, and we will see you tomorrow.